Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. The third quarter was a roller coaster for stocks, mostly driven by trade news. We'll check in with a market strategist about where the market is likely headed in the fourth quarter and how that might affect your investments. First, some money and market news you should know. There's a little less pain at the pump. The average price of unleaded gas nationwide is about $2.63 a gallon. That's 2 cents lower than last week's average. Prices crept higher following last month's attack on Saudi oil facilities, but oil production has returned to pre-attack levels. There are some exceptions. In California, the average price is just over $4 a gallon, 25 cents more than last week, mainly due to maintenance at several of the state's refineries. And the question right now isn't which came first, the chicken or the egg. It's what happens when there are too many eggs. A glut of eggs nationwide has pushed prices 30% lower than last year. Cal-Maine, the nation's largest egg producer, says as of early September, there were 331 million laying hens in the U.S., up about 800,000 from a year ago. Cal-Maine says the oversupply began hurting the egg market at the start of last year. The third quarter was a mixed bag for Wall Street. Global recession fears and on-again, off-again optimism about a U.S.-China trade deal triggered sharp sell-offs. But stocks recovered when investors realized those recession fears may have been overblown. Should we expect similar market gyrations in the fourth quarter? Let's bring in Federated Investor Chief Market Strategist Phil Orlando. So, Phil, stocks have been in a holding pattern in recent days, and as we wound down September, are those worries about a recession gone, or are we more in a wait-and-see mode?
We absolutely agree with you that the fears of recession are overblown. Our models are still suggesting no recession in 2018 or 2019 or 2020. The earliest we think the recession's coming is the first half of 2021. But we also don't think we're out of the woods yet in terms of the volatility we've seen in the market. We had taken our equity overweight down over the summer, I think it was July, from about an 8% overweight to a 3% overweight, because we felt that there would be significant amount of increased volatility during the August, September, October timeframe. And something in the order of a 5 to 8% correction that might take the S&P down to its 200-day moving average, let's call it the 2800 level. So we did get a move down the beginning of August. The market has come back nicely over, the last 6 weeks or so. But I don't know that we're completely out of the woods, because as we look across the border, the horizon there to the end of October, you've got a bunch of things that are still out there. Certainly the Brexit deadline, the Japanese VAT tax decision, whether or not the German economy has gone into recession. You've got the Draghi transition at the ECB, and you've got this ongoing, trade and tariff dispute with China. All of those things are still out there, and in our mind, that potentially combines and gives us, something of a rocky October as well.
Let's hit on a few of the international topics that you just mentioned. The market is still responding strongly to talk of the U.S.-China trade battle, either positively or negatively. Where are we seeing the biggest impact?
In our view, the consensus view has been that this China trade deal, this trade war, if you will, has been bad. It's hurt economic growth. It's certainly impacted negatively CEO sentiment. It's resulted in a downturn in CapEx spending and productivity levels. We recognize all of that. In our view, we're making sufficient progress that we've got a couple of key dates coming up in the middle of October and the middle of November. And we'd like to believe that both countries desperately need and want this deal, and they're coming together such that we could have the outline of a deal by Thanksgiving. Admittedly, that's an optimistic view, but we think we're getting close.
We spoke earlier this year, and the focus internationally was on Brexit, which at the time was scheduled for October 31st. Now a Brexit date seems to be up in the air. How would that impact how investors should place money in international equities?
The reality is that we took all of our international equities back to either neutral or underweight in the first quarter of this year, in part because of the uncertainty of exactly what you're talking about. Theresa May was the prime minister at that point. She's now out. We've now got Bojo. Boris Johnson.
Okay.
He tried to suspend the parliament by hoodwinking the Queen. That didn't work out. He may lose his job. They may have another election for a prime minister. Then they may have another referendum to determine whether or not they're going to honor the Brexit vote from 2016. It's a Muppet show right now, and we have no idea what's going to happen.
But October 31st also should be circled on calendars because of some other international events that are expected.
Well, you've got a bunch of different things. So you've got that. You've got the Draghi leadership transition at the ECB to Lagarde. The Japanese VAT tax decision is coming up.
How would the Japan VAT tax impact trade?
The Japanese have increased their VAT tax twice before, and both times the Japanese economy went into recession. They are going to raise the VAT tax again from 8% to 10%. If that pushes them into recession again, that means that from a demand standpoint, there will be diminished growth, economic growth, and therefore less demand for overseas product. Remember, Japan is the third largest economy in the world. You're talking about diminished economic growth, diminished demand for exported goods because they've made a poor decision on tax policy. That has international repercussions.
Here in the U.S., back-to-school sales typically pump up third-quarter GDP. But do you see the ongoing U.S.-China trade matter acting as sort of a weight on the GDP?
That's a great question. Let's go back to the back-to-school question you've asked, that we had horrific retail sales last December and last February, and so the market was very concerned about the consumer. We had a very optimistic view. We felt that the consumer was healthy and that we'd bounce back. So Maypril sales, March and April, surrounding Easter, very strong. Back-to-school sales, we've got July and August in the bank. They're very strong. So we've had solid consumer spending for the last 6 months through the August retail sales period. So at least up until this point, our consumer has not been negatively impacted by the ongoing concerns about Chinese trade.
And then there's the Fed. Not long ago, a rate increase in the fourth quarter seemed to be a sure thing. And now some Fed officials are telegraphing a rate decrease may not be necessary. Do you think that Wall Street is hanging its hopes on another drop?
The Federal Reserve, in our view, is trying to balance three ideas. One is the question of data dependence, which is what the Fed typically does. Is the economy growing well? Is inflation stable? The second is a sense of independence. And we never used to talk about that, but we do now because President Trump has been inappropriately pressuring the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates. So the Fed needs to demonstrate some backbone here, some independence. And the third issue is this question of an insurance cut. That what Powell and other members of the Fed have talked about over the last several months is that with all of these geopolitical risks, they recognize that the Federal Reserve is the central bank of the world, and they've got to try to create a more accommodative platform to make sure that we're not contributing to potentially a global recession. So the Fed has given us rate cuts in the end of July, in the middle of September. I think we're going to sneak one more cut in October 30th. Again, there's that Halloween theme again.
So October and not December.
And not December. I think the Fed will be done by October 30th. And if they're going to use an insurance cut based upon geopolitical risk as their justification, they've got to do it October because these issues are still alive. But by the time we get to December, we may have some resolution on some of these issues. And the justification for a rate cut on the basis of geo risk might be off the table.
All right. That's Federated Investors Chief Market Strategist Phil Orlando here in our studio. Phil, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.